Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said when selling yourself, don't misrepresent the goods. We appreciate this opportunity, a Bible study today. We're glad you're listening to Bible Meditations. It's always good to be able to come your way, and we do appreciate the opportunity that is ours. All right, let's return now to our study, and we're talking about the attitudes that people take toward the Bible. Paul said the church at Thessalonica was great, and he remembered them frequently in his prayers, in fact, daily in his prayers, because of the fact that they treated the Word of God in a right way. They didn't treat it as the words of men, but rather they treated it like it came from God, and therefore respected and obeyed it. There are some who have different attitudes toward the Bible. It's not infrequent today to hear someone say, well, the Bible was written in the first century and it doesn't have application today. They're telling us that the Bible's a dead letter. The Bible is a book written for a century gone by, but it doesn't apply today, and they're trying, therefore, to get us to lay aside the Bible and to turn to other books, other direction for our lives. We noted that Paul in the Hebrew letter said in chapter 4 and verse 12 that the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And so it is a book which is not outdated, not outmoded, but rather that regulates every situation of life today. One of the reasons that a person would take the position that the Bible is outdated is because he doesn't want to do something that the Bible indicates he ought to be doing. Or maybe he wants to do something that the Bible indicates is contrary to what he ought to be doing, and therefore he just simply says it's an outdated book. Well, I believe that as we begin applying the teachings of God's Word that are recorded in the Bible, you'll find that it does as much today as it did in the first century, and that the teachings are just as applicable today, just as helpful today, as they were when the Bible was first given. We noted, as we were studying yesterday, that God designed in the very beginning, that is, at the creation, that there be a husband and a wife as far as the home life was concerned. Genesis 2 and verse 18, it was not good for man to be alone, thus he created for him and helped meet. So, man and wife, one man, one wife. Later, when Jesus speaks about this, now this is hundreds of years later, Jesus said, the one who made us in the beginning made male and female, that is, the marriage relationship. When someone comes along today and says, well, that doesn't apply today because we have alternate lifestyles, all that is fancy words to cover up for immorality. We're going another direction, and we're living in an immoral way, and we don't want the Bible bothering us, therefore, the Bible's outdated, and we have alternate lifestyles. My friends, I want to suggest to you that those who make such arguments, when the day of judgment comes, will find the Lord still saying, as he always has, one husband, one wife for their lifetime. One man, one wife, and that's the way God designed it to be. Well, of course, if we want to know today how the husband is to act in regard to his wife, all we do is go to our Bible. The Bible tells husbands to love their wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Ephesians 5, 23 through 25. Husbands loving their wives, and that means with proper respect, with due regard. He views the one that he has committed his life to. And the wife is in turn told that she is to submit under her own husband. In fact, yes, my friends, the Bible uses the word obey. She is to obey. Now, that doesn't mean that her husband is unreasonable and demands of her and she has to do unreasonable things. No, it doesn't mean that. But it does mean that she accepts him as the head of the family, and he gives guidance and direction to their family. I was having a wedding rehearsal a while back, and a young lady came to me and said, "I do hope that you're not going to put the word obey in the wedding ceremony. I hope you're past that." And I said to her, "Just as soon as God takes it out of the Bible, I'll take it out of the wedding ceremony." My friends, we can remove it from the ceremony, but the wedding that is in harmony with God's law and that will bring the greatest happiness to the man and woman involved is the one that follows the teaching that has been given in the Word of God. Well, we certainly apply then the marriage relationship. We apply the teachings of God's Word. What about the relationship of parents and children? One of the characteristics that has always been true, children at times want to do things that they're instructed not to do. And a rebellion against authority, and in particular a rebellion against the authority of parents, has seemingly become commonplace. If you go back and read hundreds of years ago, there were complaints by people that the children were out of line. There was no discipline. They were going in other directions. Yet the Bible is still the book that needs to be applied in regard to the parent-child relationship. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right," Ephesians 6 and verse 1. "Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." The Apostle Paul tells parents not to provoke their children, but to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Correction of children is essential. A child needs to know what is acceptable and what is not acceptable as far as conduct is concerned. That's what his childhood is about, learning what I can do acceptably and what I must not do in order to get along with other people and, of course, to be in harmony with God's law. Sometimes it becomes necessary that parents correct children. We've come to the place in our present generation, we have a thing called politically correct and tolerance, and we've pressed tolerance and political correctness to the point that we don't have any discipline whatever in regard to home. We just simply want our children to do whatever they want to do, and then when they get to be adults, they do whatever they want to do, and there's rebellion against authority everywhere. Well, this is not the way God designed it. The writer of the Proverbs made it clear that the man who spares the rod hateth his son, but he that chasteneth him, he does this betimes, that is, in a proper way and when needed. The fact is that he's telling us to diligently follow this idea of instruction. There are two kinds of correction. One is instruction that we give by what we say. The other is instruction given by what we do. We've become so smart in our present generation that we've decided any kind of correction that involves paddling a child is a terrible thing. And I can hear people saying, "Violence begets violence." And they somehow have the idea that means we can't correct our children. Well, we're going to have to close. Our time is gone. We'd like to say more about this particular matter. Please be with us tomorrow. And remember, it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.